Good morning, Cornerstone. Thank the praise team for leading us in worship this morning. We'll start this morning with a question. And the question is, how do we enter into the presence of God? Here at Cornerstone Community Church, we follow a general process to enter into the presence of God. Does anyone know what that process is? It is the order of service, where we first have the announcements, and then we're led in prayer. Then we stand for the reading of God's word. Then we have a time of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Then we listen to the preached word of God, and then we have more songs. We collect offering, and then we have another song, and then we have a benediction. This is the way that we enter into the presence of God here at Cornerstone Community Church. And the writer says here in chapter 9 of verse 1 that even the first covenant, even the Old Testament, had regulations for divine worship. Even the Old Covenant had an order of service. And these regulations had to be followed to the letter. These children of Israel had their own divine order of worship that was instituted by God Himself. It was strictly sequenced. It was choreographed. And every aspect of their worship was overseen, from what kinds of animals could be sacrificed, all the way down to the clothing that the priests should wear. It was all programmed. It was an order of service created by God, wherein first the supplicant was to present their living sacrifice in the outer court of the temple. Then the priest would lay his hands on the sacrifice and consecrate the offering to God as a substitute for the person making the sacrifice and for his family. Then the animal would be slaughtered. Next, the priest would collect the animal's blood and sprinkle a portion on both sides of the altar and pour the remainder of the blood on the base of the altar. And then the priest would burn the sacrifice. And then finally, the family would take that burned offering back home and have a sacrificial meal together. This was their order of service. The regulations of divine worship. You can find a very detailed account if you like to read about it. You can find a very detailed account in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. And besides these protocols, besides these processes, the writer says there were also regulations of the earthly sanctuary. There was an order of progression from the outer court to the inner court, and from there into the most holy place within the temple. This was the procession, the progression of worship. There was a very detailed and prescribed manner in which the priests were to make the journey from the outer court to the inner courts of the temple. And this tabernacle, the writer says, was equipped. There were stages, there were stations. And each stage was equipped with an element within the outer sanctuary. First, there was the lampstand. And the lampstand symbolizes the light of God's presence And God commanded that this lamp was to be tended all day, and it was never to go out until nighttime. You recall in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, that God came to the boy Samuel to give him divine insight. The text says, before the lamp had gone out, God was present. And the lampstand was the symbol of his presence. Then within that outer sanctuary, there was the table. And upon the table were the 12 loaves of sacred bread, which symbolized the 12 tribes of Israel. And this station within the temple was called the holy place. And then verse 3, the writer says that behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the most holy place, or the holy of holies. The writer says it was equipped with a golden altar of incense. And the smoke that rose from the incense symbolized the prayers of the people of God, assembling into heaven, a sweet-smelling savor to God. And the writer says there was also the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, an ark, a chest or a trunk, covered in gold on all sides. And this ark was the most sacred object of the temple, symbolizing God's physical presence within this world. And in that ark, in that large chest, there was a golden jar holding the manna. That same manna that God rained down from heaven to feed the children of Israel while they journeyed through the wilderness, the manna. And they kept some of that manna inside this trunk as a reminder of God's divine provision, as a testimony of God's divine care. And within that ark, they also kept Aaron's staff, which budded. In Numbers chapter 16 and 17, there was a group of jealous men who challenged Aaron's priesthood. And God commanded that the rebels lay down their rods beside Aaron's rod, and the Lord allowed Aaron's rod to bud and bring forth vegetation, even though the staff was dead. And God did this to warn them against rebelling against his designed and divine institution of the priesthood. And so that staff remained in the ark as a reminder against rebellion. Then also within the ark, there were the tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, as we like to refer to them. And as the writer continues his tour, he points out in verse 5 that above the ark were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the atoning cover, these cherubim. These large and most powerful angels were symbolized in gold. And the symbol meant that they were protecting the most sacred space within the Holy of Holies. They were the guardians of the ark, these powerful angelic beings, God's attendants, God's overseers of the covenant with Israel. These cherubim were the defenders of the law. And just when it starts to get juicy and we're ready to learn more about this Holy of Holies, the writer humbly admits that about these things we cannot now speak in detail. But that doesn't mean he doesn't know about the other elements in the Holy of Holies. It means that no further description is needed to make the point that he's trying to make. He's not interested in tantalizing the reader with secret cultic information. He only mentions these particular elements in order to set up his next point, to ask the next question. And that question is, by what right do we enter into the presence of God? On what authority or by what means do we find our way into God's holy presence? He explains in verse 6 that when these elements within the temple have been properly prepared, the priests are continuously entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship, going through the divine stages of worship, from one element to the next in progression. And this was where the priests did their work, in this first chamber within the temple. But the writer says in verse 7, into the second, or into the most holy place, or the holy of holies, where God physically dwelled, only the high priest entered. And that only one day out of the year. And that day is called Yom Kippur in Hebrew, the Day of Atonement. A day for repentance to God for sins. It was a day of reparation, where each family brought an animal sacrifice in order to make peace with God for their sins committed in the past year. Only once a year did the high priest enter the Holy of Holies, this Day of Atonement found in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27, where God commanded his people and said that on exactly the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble yourselves and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. And to make this atonement, or to offer this burnt sacrifice to the Lord, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. But the writer says, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people, sins committed in ignorance. And this was the means that gave the high priest the right to go before God's presence. The blood of a lamb that had been sacrificed. And we don't need to decipher what this means, because the writer tells us that through this annual ceremony, and by the high priest offering blood before God in the holiest place, the Holy Spirit was saying something. He was saying, verse 8, he was signifying that the way into the holy place, or the way into the Holy of Holies, or the way into the presence of God, has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. And so now the writer draws closer to his point. The point is that despite all of these regulations, despite all of these protocols and processes, despite the high priest's diligence in approaching God's throne with the annual sacrifice of blood, there still was no permanent way to enter into the presence of God. Because all of these regulations of divine worship, including the high priest offering blood for the atonement and forgiveness of sins, all of these things were merely, verse 9, symbols for the present time. All of the elements and all of the processes the writer has laid out and described for us in such great detail, they are all symbolic. They were all pointing to something. They were teaching tools to instruct them and to instruct us about the proper way, the only way, to enter into the presence of God. And while once a year the high priest could enter into God's presence, none of these practices opened the way permanently. Not the blood of sheep, not the blood of doves could open the way to a permanent relationship with God. Because the writer continues and says, both the gifts and the sacrifices that were could not make the worshiper perfect in conscience. The worshiper could carry out these regulations of divine worship in perfect form. She could go through all the motions and all the stages of worship to God without fail and without flaw. The high priest could pour out as much blood on God's altar as he could carry, but even though the order of service was in complete compliance with the process for approaching God, the people and the high priest were still not worthy to enter, to remain in God's holy presence. Only the perfect person can approach. Only the perfect person can maintain close relations with the Father. But not just the person who is perfect in deed and in actions, but those who are perfect in conscience. So that the way of holiness is not found only in doing what is right, but in being right within. We can safely assume that there were a number of Hebrews that brought their annual sacrifice faithfully every year. There were a number of Hebrews that went through all the motions of worship, but their hearts were not right. Their religion was merely transactional. There was no internal transformation. There was no alteration of their consciences. There was only external compliance with the rules. So that the rules called for an annual sacrifice, and they brought their annual sacrifice just to stay on the good side of God. It was all symbolic. Interestingly enough, by the time Jesus comes into the world, they had even managed to desecrate the symbols of faith. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, the Bible says that Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were selling and buying on the temple grounds. They had turned God's temple into a flea market. And Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. This all happened during the time of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as the people prepared to present their annual sacrifice to God. So the regulation said that every family was supposed to raise an animal in preparation to sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. You were supposed to raise the animal all year, you and your family, take care of this animal, and then when you go to Jerusalem, you bring this animal with you to sacrifice to God. But the people had found a more convenient way. And they decided, I don't want to raise animals all year, so I'll just wait until the Day of Atonement, just go to the temple and buy a dove. I don't have to raise the thing, I can just buy a lamb. I don't have to put any work into my worship. I don't have to put forth any effort. I can just wait till that day, go in the temple, the flea market, and just buy a dove, hand it to the priest. You chop him up, burn him to God. Work's done for the year. See you next year. And Jesus was angry and said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers, desecrating the temple of God. Why did the people just wait and buy their dove? Why did they just wait and buy a lamb once they got to Jerusalem? Why didn't they follow the regulation? I believe it is because the people came to realize that there wasn't much to their sacrificial system after all. Their consciences were no better after their sacrifice as it was before their sacrifice. They found no meaning in the cultic practices. Because at some level, even they had begun to realize that it wasn't drawing them any closer to God. Our writer in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10 goes on to explain that their sacrifices related only to food and drink and various washings and regulations for the body. These regulations were imposed upon them by God until a time of reformation, these regulations. This progression through the physical temple, the offering of animal sacrifices, and the high priest entering the Holy of Holies with blood, these practices served only as a holding pattern, only as symbolic representations of the reformation that was to come. But verse 11 says, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things having come, Jesus entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation. So that the time of Jesus Christ marked the time of reformation of the old covenant, reformation of the old way of worshiping God, the appearance of Jesus as high priest brought forth the prospect of a better and more durable means by which we can come into the presence of God, a way that would not only purify the outer man, but would cleanse our souls and result in the perfection of our inner selves over time. In contrast to the earthly priest, Jesus entered into the true tabernacle, the true holy place, the true holy of holies where God dwells, not symbolically, but Jesus entered in truth. Jesus Christ entered into the heavenly tabernacle of God, which is the tabernacle on which Israel's earthly tabernacle was modeled. Jesus entered into the tabernacle of heaven. And the writer says, even Jesus, being the high priest, he didn't enter through the blood of goats or of calves. But Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies through his own blood. Jesus entered the holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for humankind, so that the annual application of external compliance to symbolic systems is no longer necessary. Our worship is no longer symbolic, but true. And we stand before the presence of Almighty God in the Holy of Holies and heavenly places. And the Hebrew symbols of the way that leads to salvation have been forever supplanted by the true and the only way. Jesus says, I am the way that leads to the Father. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross has provided the true and only way that cleanses the conscience and leads to our eternal redemption once and for all. By the blood of Jesus, you and I have inherited the right to stand before God, as Paul the Apostle says, to come boldly to his throne of grace. With our consciences cleaned and our sins forever forgiven. And the writer concludes in verse 13, if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, if that sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The way to an eternal relationship with God the Father comes by and through our faith in the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. And just as the blood of animals gained the high priest temporary access into God's presence, so has the offering of Christ's own blood opened for you and for me a permanent way to enter into the holiest place and to boldly worship before the throne of God forever. as the blood of Jesus Christ continues to sanctify each of us, as we continuously progress through heaven's temple, stage by stage, from faith to faith, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are allowed to enter into that beyond the veil, and to live and to dwell in the presence of God for all eternity. In short, it is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that I can have a relationship with God. It is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that I can dwell in the presence of God, where there is a fullness of joy. It is because of the blood of Jesus Christ that I am eternally forgiven for my sins. And I have a right through Jesus to be called a child of God. This is the great mystery of our faith, explaining to us how the blood of Jesus, how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has been a substitute for you and for me, how that Jesus Christ has taken our sins upon his own self. Because of that, you and I are called righteous. All because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank God for that great sacrifice. And each and every time we enter into the presence of God or we bow down to pray, we recognize that without the blood of Jesus, we could never gain an audience with God. And this is why Jesus tells us to pray in his name. Pray in the name of Jesus, not in your own name. Don't come before God in your own name. Your name has no value, but come to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a right to make this request because of his sacrifice. I have a right to dwell in your presence because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on my behalf. This is the gospel. This is the beauty and the wonder of what Jesus Christ has won for you and for me on Calvary's cross, so that we can have an eternal relationship with God our Father, so that we can speak to him like we speak to a friend, so that we can always bask in the radiance of his presence and of his glory through Jesus Christ alone. And by no other name and by no other sacrifice. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I thank God for salvation today. I thank God for Christ's willingness to lay down his life so that I could be set free. Such a miracle and such a wonder. And it's truly worth pondering and considering more deeply, especially during this time of the year. I find myself reflecting more and more upon the Gospels, more and more upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, more and more upon his death and upon his resurrection. Do you do that in the fall season? Begin to reflect more on the death of Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made, to show appreciation and gratitude for all that he's done by giving up all that he had, so that you could be saved. This writer of Hebrews, I was telling the elders the other night, this writer of Hebrews is just astonishing me over and over again. His depth of understanding, the wise manner in which he interprets the Old Testament to show us that the entire Old Testament was always speaking of Jesus. It's all about him. I'm enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying it as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have entered once and for all beyond the veil of heaven to be seated at the right hand of God our Father on high. And only because of you do we have access to enter into that which is beyond the veil, to enter beyond the third heaven, to see things that we are not even permitted to speak, but to dwell and to bask in the mystery of godliness. This great mystery that is beyond words, and to some degree even beyond human comprehension. We ask, Father God, that you would continue to give us eyes so that we can see and understand what the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ truly means for our lives, the doors that Christ has opened for us, making all things possible to all of us who believe by the laying down of his own life. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, God. Thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. May our lives and our actions be pleasing in your sight, but may our consciences be cleaned and cleared of dead works, and so that we can serve the living God in spirit and in truth. And for your glory. Amen.